Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. This is a very familiar verse. I believe it's one of the greatest statements Paul ever made. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. May the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. There are two statements that make the Christian life a frustrating thing. Statement number one, the demands of Christ are impossible. Statement number two, my resources are inadequate. First of all, the demands of Christ are impossible. Jesus made some impossible commands. He said to love your enemies. Anybody find that hard to do that? To love your enemies? Be honest this morning. We all do. He said that we are to pray for those who despitefully use us, and we are to bless those who persecute us. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, that's an impossible command. And it's a frustrating thing because I try my best to do it. In chapter 6 of Matthew's gospel, Jesus said, don't worry about anything. Don't take any thought for tomorrow. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. Don't worry about anything. I submit to you that that's impossible. But I'm going to try. And so I put my Bible under one arm, my Sunday school quarterly under the other, and I go out and try my best to live the Christian life. And I don't go very far until I've discovered that my resources are inadequate. I'll be very honest with you today. I just can't live the Christian life in my own strength and power. I can't do it. And when I've tried to do it, it's a very frustrating thing. You know, and I see a bunch of frustrated Christians as they're trying their level best to live the Christian life, and they're falling and they're failing. And I know what the problem is. We're living beneath the plane that God intended for us to live. We're not possessing our possessions. We're not inheriting our inheritance. We're living below the plane that God intended for every Christian to live. And so I see on one hand that the demands of Christ are impossible to keep, and then I see on the other hand that my resources for trying to do this are inadequate, and yet I come to the Word of God and I discover the fact that over and over again, Jesus wants us to be overcomers. And I cannot escape the fact that in Romans 8, Paul says that we are more than conquerors. We are super conquerors through Him that loved us. I cannot escape the fact that in 1 John chapter 5, it says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And it goes on to say, who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Christ. So that's saying that every person who believes that Jesus is the Christ should be overcoming the world. Every Christian is a believer. Every Christian believes that Jesus is the Christ. You can't be saved without believing that. And so I ask you today, are you overcoming the world? All the way through the Word of God, especially the book of Acts, they are just dripping with victory. I mean, there are insurmountable obstacles in the book of Acts, harder times than you or I could ever imagine, and yet they're just dripping with victory. They're walking in triumph. And so I would like to preach to you on how to live triumphantly. I want you to come to a dimension in your life that God intends for you to be in. And I will be glad when we come to the place at Calvary Assembly of God when we will settle for nothing less but absolute victory. That every Christian here is a victorious Christian and is walking in triumph. I'm not going to be satisfied until that happens. So come alongside. Let's do it. I've got three things that you have to know if you are going to live in triumph and you're going to walk in victory. Three things. Douglas MacArthur made the statement years ago that there is no substitute for victory. That was after Korea. Vance Havner said, "We celebrated the ending of a war that never ended, and we celebrated the beginning of a peace that never began." See, there is no substitute for victory. Either you win or you lose. And in the Christian life, it's the same thing. And that's why Jesus, when he was writing to those seven churches in the book of Revelation, he says, "To him that overcometh, will I." To him that overcometh, to him that overcometh. Every church, there was that promise, "To him that overcometh." But you know, there's not any promises to those who didn't overcome. Every promise that is given is to the overcomer, is given to those who overcome. What is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying that there is no substitute for absolute victory. And one of the happiest days of my life was when I woke up to the fact that I didn't have to live in constant defeat. That I didn't have to be under the circumstances, but I could rise above the circumstances and I could get on top of the circumstances. That I didn't have to be a victim, that I could be a victor. That I didn't have to be overcome, but I could be an overcomer. Would you like to know those truths? To walk in victory? To be an overcomer? Well, Paul gives the simple truth right here in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I'm not reading anything that's new to you. Okay, this is not some new thing that I just dreamed up and added to God's Word. You've read it 1,000 times probably. Paul says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Contained in that verse is the truth and the knowledge of triumphant living. Three things you need to know and how to live triumphantly. First of all, and I'm not going to give these all three to you today, okay? Giving you one today, one next week, one the week after. All right? And if we have to abbreviate today, we'll do that. We'll come back and hit it harder next week. First of all, the triumphant life is the executed life. The triumphant life is the executed life. Paul says, "I am crucified with Christ." How many of you know that crucifixion was a means of execution? It was probably the most horrible way to be executed. But the triumphant life is the executed life. Jesus said in John chapter 12 and verse 24, that unless a kernel of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. What is Jesus saying? He's saying the secret to fruitfulness is death. Paul says the same thing in Galatians chapter 6. He says, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." And then all through the Gospels, Jesus kept coming back to this idea of discipleship. And he says, "Except a man deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me, he cannot be my disciple." The cross is the symbol. The cross is the means of execution. Jesus is saying that unless a man knows what it means to die to self, he cannot be my disciple. Now, the triumphant life is the executed life. Very simply, it is dying to self so that Christ can live. But two things about this executed life. First of all, it's an actual past event. It is an actual past event. Notice what Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. That's togetherness with Christ. If a man was crucified with Christ, he had to be crucified the same time Christ was crucified. If you're crucified with Christ, you had to be crucified at the same time that he was crucified. Debbie's not here today, so she blew my illustration. No, I'll pick somebody else. If Brian Balow and I leave church together today, we have to leave at the same time. If he leaves an hour before I leave, I cannot honestly say that we left church together. In order for me to be crucified with Christ, in order for you to be crucified with Christ, you had to be together at that crucifixion. That's one of the things about about Christianity I don't really understand, but I accept it by faith, that I was there. God sees every person as either in Adam or in Christ. Every single person here today, God sees you, and he sees you as either being in Adam or in Christ. If he sees you in Adam, he sees you in your sins, and you are separated from God. But if he sees you in Christ, he sees you dead with Christ and then also risen with Christ. When I came to Jesus as a 9-year-old boy and trusted him as my Savior, I tried to live the Christian life. Unfortunately, nobody ever told me that I died with Christ. And if there was some measure of discipleship and dying to self, I would rise up out of my tomb and start trying to live the life for Jesus. You know what's been wrong with me all these years? You wondered that, haven't you? It's been a dead man trying to live. And let me tell you, you can't do it. Dead people can't live. Dead people find it hard to pray. How can we ever live up to the impossible demands of Christ when we are dead? But I did die with Christ. That's the first thing that you need to realize, is that it was an actual past event. That when Jesus died on the cross, he took you with him. When you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior for the first time, he made that death real. You died. And now when God looks at you, he doesn't look at you as alive unto the sin, living that same old sinful lifestyle. When God looks at you, he looks at you in union with Christ, and he sees you dead unto sin, as dead to the old life, but alive unto God. The triumphant life is the executed life. The executed life is an actual past event. But then secondly, because that's not enough, the executed life must be an appropriated present experience. This is how it works. This is the nuts and bolts of Christianity. This is how living the triumphant, victorious life is going to happen. And unfortunately, we've ran out of time, so next week we will get to how you can appropriate this victory. But for right now, could we just realize the truth that the triumphant life is an executed life? And if you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, even though you don't understand it with your mind, could you reach out with faith today and say, Lord, I believe that I died with you on the cross of Calvary. Not only did I die there, Not only was I buried with you, but I also rose to new life with you. That is the first secret of the triumphant life. We just thank the Lord right now. Let's just thank Him together. Lord, we want to thank You that we died with You, that we were buried with You. But Lord, we also rose from that grave with You, that we might walk in newness of life. We thank You for that incredible privilege of being in You. And Lord, we pray that as we learn the truth of the triumphant gospel over the next couple of weeks, Lord, that these truths we would receive by faith, but they would become part of our practical experience. Again, Lord, we just want to say thank You for the life that You have given us. And if there's anybody here today who has not yet received You as their Savior and are still in Adam, I pray today that they would confess their sins, receiving Christ as their Savior, realizing that that means that they died, were buried with You, Lord, so that they could receive the new life that You have to offer them today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed this morning, is there anybody here? By a raised hand, you would say, Pastor, I'd have to admit that I am still in Adam. When God looks at me today, He sees me in my sinful state because I have not yet received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, not exchanged my life for His. And so I'm dead in my trespasses and sins. But I want to receive Jesus today and receive His life. Is there any? Is there any? Christians, how many of you just a moment ago were thanking the Lord, and even though you may not understand, but by faith, you believe that you died with Christ and that you rose with Him. And now it's your desire to let Him live His life through you. You desire to live the life of a disciple. Could the Lord see your hand of commitment just up and then down? Thank You. Thank You. Yeah. Let's stand.